Welcome to the Doug Knoll Show. Here's your host, lawyer to peacemaker, Doug Knoll.
Please join us at www.myspace.com, the Doug Knoll Show, to stay abreast of upcoming topics and guests. I'll be keeping the page current with the latest on upcoming shows, guests, and assorted interesting stuff about conflicts, peace, negotiation, leadership. That's the Doug Knoll Show at myspace.com. Well, in these troubled economic times, there's been a lot of criticism directed to business, financial, and government leadership for the failures that have led us to what appears to be the brink of economic catastrophe. What is not talked about is the follower mentality that has supported this failed leadership. What, you wonder? It was my fault. I couldn't stop them. Well, think again. Being a follower has as much responsibility for the success and failure in an organization or in a government or in a corporation or in any business as being a leader. And my guest tonight is an expert in the idea of the importance of followership and the importance of taking responsibility as a follower in order to support good leadership. Ira Chalif is an executive coach, business consultant, leadership developer, and author of the award-winning book, The Courageous Follower, Standing Up to and for Our Leaders. He is also the co-editor of the recent released book, just released last month, The Art of Followership, How Great Followers Create Great Leaders and Organizations. His website is CourageousFollower.net, and for all of you people who don't think you're leaders, listen up, because we're going to tell you how important it is to be a follower. Welcome to the show, Ira.
Thank you, Don. Good to be here.
And thank you for staying up late. I know it's late where you are, and I appreciate you taking the time to join us. So before we get into learning about followership, I'm always curious about the journeys that my guests take to get to where they are. And I'm wondering, what was the journey that led you to studying the concept of being a follower?
It's a long journey, Don. I think I started as a child. I became aware of the Holocaust in Europe, where some of the elements of my family were lost. And I developed a deep question about how do human beings follow such destructive leaders? And that stayed with me in one form or another for my formative years. And sometime in my early 30s, I think it was, I read M. Scott Peck's book called The People of the Lie. And in it, he attempted an exploration of evil. What is evil? Does it exist? How does it manifest? Under what circumstances? And one of the case histories that he used for his examination was the My Lai massacre in Vietnam, where a couple of hundred ordinary American soldiers got involved in both a massacre of civilians and a cover-up. And he made an observation. He said that somehow when people view themselves in a follower role, that they sort of relieve themselves of the moral responsibility of the decisions that leaders make. And at that moment, I literally wrote in the margin of the book, sounds like a book on followership is needed. And for the next couple of years, I thought about the issue. I tried to find what was written on it, and there was very, very little. And I started to put together my own thoughts based on my own life experiences, as well as my background in group dynamics. And that started the conversation, and with a lot of good feedback from people I trusted in politics and business and in other aspects of my life, I put together a model of what could be a different way of following that would not be passive in the face of the misuse or abuse of power.
Fascinating. You know, I give lectures on leadership and ethics, and I talk about apples and apple barrels and apple barrel makers. And it sounds like you're sort of following the same path, the idea that situations influence the way people behave, and what you have to learn is how to resist the bad situations that will tend to lead you astray and either follow inappropriately or do bad things.
Yeah, unfortunately, the research shows that any of us are prone to making unethical choices in certain situations, and we really do have to think about how can we prepare ourselves better so when we find ourselves in unusual situations where there's a lot of pressure to do something that is not ethical, that would be harmful to others, where do we find the internal fortitude, the courage, the moral compass to say no? And perhaps to lead others to better options, better ways of dealing with the situation as they see it.
Yeah, I'm reminded of Milgram's work. In fact, some people at Stanford just replicated his experiments as the 40th anniversary of his death, I think, and of course, Zimbardo's Stanford Prison Experiment research.
Yeah, well, for the benefit of your listeners who may not know about Milgram's work, and it's such important work, I feel it's work that everyone who has any kind of authority or who works in sensitive situations with authority really needs to understand. Basically, as you well know, Milgram found that about two-thirds of us, when confronted with authority telling us that we needed to do something that was that we thought would be harmful to others, we would tend to comply simply because they were authority. And each of us would say, well, I wouldn't. But the kind of damning evidence is that his experiments were repeated over and over again in many different countries as well. And there was very little variation. About two-thirds of people continued to comply even when they were very, very uncomfortable about doing so. And nobody was intimidating them to do so. It was simply the fact that authority was telling them to do so. And that's something we really have to learn about ourselves and see what we can do to transform in ourselves and our children.
I know his work was amazing and quite troubling. Well, let's talk about your work. You've defined the term the courageous follower. What do you mean by that?
Well, first of all, let's start off with putting out on the table that people don't like to be called a follower. Most people don't. They don't like to think of
hierarchical problems, right? It's a status issue.
Yeah, they don't like to think of themselves at the bottom of the pecking order and hierarchy. And
right.
No one ever grew up wanting to be the best follower they could be. But I think that part of that comes from our definition culturally of follower as a personality type. And we're not talking about a personality type at all. We're talking about a role. And if you think about it, anyone in a hierarchy, anyone in the middle of the hierarchy, even towards the top of the hierarchy, are continuously moving between a leadership role and a followership role. And we have to own the follower role just as much as we own the leader role and figure out how do we do it differently than the stereotype. The stereotype is it's passive, it's sheepish, etc. But that's not the least bit true necessarily. Followers can be very dynamic, very self-responsible, very interactive in partnering with leaders, and still follow.
So when we talk about that, what are some of the behaviors that we would see in a courageous follower?
In my work, in the model that I developed, I found that there were five kind of buckets or umbrella kinds of behaviors. Just briefly, the first one was the courage to assume responsibility. So in other words, whether or not you're given a specific order, when you understand the mission, you assume, and your mandate within that mission, you assume responsibility for acting or not acting and for the consequences of that, for initiating, for taking responsibility. The second piece is the courage to serve leadership. Leaders actually, even though we can get very disenchanted with them, in fact, leaders typically work very hard. They often pay a certain price. They may work very long hours, pay personal price in terms of their family time, etc. And they need support just like we need support. And I don't just mean doing what you're asked to do, but really going out of your way to do everything you can to support them. The third behavior is when you build a relationship based on genuine care and support for your leader, you have to be willing to question the leader. You have to be willing to speak up when you are uncomfortable with what the leader's doing, and if you think they should reconsider what they're doing. So I call that the courage to challenge their behavior or their policies. The fourth set of behaviors has to do with the courage to participate in transformation. It's always easier to see what the other person needs to change. It's much harder to see how we need to change in a relationship. And part of courageous followership is being willing to shine a light on ourselves as well. And the last piece is the courage to take moral action, which I can talk about further.
We'll take each of these different five behaviors and talk about them as we come back from the next break. When we come back, we'll talk more with Ira Chalup, the author of The Courageous Follower, Standing Up to and for Our Leaders, and his website is courageousfollower.net. When we come back, we will talk more about courageous following. I'm Doug Knoll, and you are listening to The Doug Knoll Show.
You are listening to The Doug Knoll Show with your host, lawyer to peacemaker, Doug Knoll.